Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." He said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he had said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years and in divine and human favor. May the Lord add his blessing and understanding to the reading of his word.
I was blessed to grow up in a home with two parents. My father and my mother were married over 62 years. And when I think back upon it, I realize that most of my friends had both parents at home. I did have one friend who lived only with his mother because his father had been killed during the Korean War. But back when I was a boy in the 1950s, two-parent homes were the norm. In 1960, only 11% of the children in America did not have their father living at home, just 11%. My, how that has changed. Today, over a third of the children in America live in a home without their father. In Baltimore, it's 38%. In St. Louis, it's 40%. In Southeast Washington, almost 90% of the children live in a home without their father. With the dramatic increase in divorce, and with the even greater increase in children born to unmarried parents, many children grow up in a home without their father. I'm not making a value judgment here. I'm just stating a demographic reality. But it certainly puts a different spin on Father's Day for many families. Jesus grew up in a home with two parents. His mother Mary and his earthly father Joseph raised Jesus in their home in Nazareth, along with at least four brothers and an untold number of sisters. When Jesus was 12, his parents took him with them to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. Now, for a Jewish boy, reaching the age 12 was a significant milestone. It meant that he was on the cusp of becoming a man. It didn't mean that Jesus was now an adult, but it was like a rite of passage into adulthood. He was still under his parents' guidance and protection and authority, but he was beginning to think for himself. He was beginning to make decisions for himself. He was beginning to come to terms with his own identity. It is a natural life progression. Most young people, as they enter adolescence, begin to assert their independence and to establish their own identity. Psychologist Eric Erickson says that is one of the main tasks of adolescence, to begin to figure out who we really are, to begin to clarify our identity. Beginning about age 12, young people start asking themselves, who am I? How do I fit in? Where am I going in my life? What is my goal or my purpose? And Erickson said that if parents allow their children the freedom to explore and discover their own identity, they will come to their own conclusions about who they are and what their lives are all about. However, if parents deny their children that freedom and push their children to conform with the parents' ideas and views and identity, the children will develop identity confusion, which may extend even into adulthood. I think that begins to describe what happened in the scripture that we read this morning from Luke's gospel about the young man Jesus, age 12, going to the temple in Jerusalem with his parents. They were beginning to give Jesus the freedom to be his own person, to discover his own identity. And there in Jerusalem, Jesus was beginning to discover who he was in the context of his heritage as a part of the Jewish people. Now, that may be one reason why they took Jesus to Jerusalem, so he could begin to discover who he was in the context of his heritage. It's clear that Mary and Joseph were not monitoring Jesus' every move. They gave him a certain amount of freedom. In fact, they apparently lost track of where he was. For when they left Jerusalem to begin their journey back home, they assumed that Jesus was with them in the larger traveling party of relatives and friends, and they did not recognize until they stopped for the night that he wasn't among them. They didn't realize he had gotten so caught up in his talks with the teachers in the temple that Jesus had remained behind. And so after traveling a day's journey, it was only then that they discovered that Jesus was still in Jerusalem. And so with understandable panic, Mary and Joseph returned to Jerusalem the next day. And finally, on the third day, they began to frantically search for him. Finally, they found him in the temple, and they were confounded to see that he was discussing weighty matters with the greatest teachers in all Jerusalem. They were relieved, but they were also exasperated. Mary said, "Child, why have you treated us this way? Look, your father and I have been searching for you with great anxiety." Well, Mary's reaction was what any parent would probably have felt. In her mind, they had entrusted Jesus with a certain amount of freedom, and they expected him to be responsible enough to realize that they would be worried about him, particularly when they discovered he was not traveling with them going back home. Now, at first hearing, it sounds like Jesus was being a bit of a smart aleck. Sounded like he was giving kind of a flippant answer when he said, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" Or some translations put it, "I must be about my Father's business." Well, it's not that Jesus was being disrespectful to his parents, but they clearly did not understand what he was saying. As far as Mary and Joseph were concerned, my Father's house meant their home back in Nazareth, not the temple in Jerusalem. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying. They knew that Jesus was a gift from God, and yet they still did not understand how Jesus would fulfill that mission that God had given him. And I think Jesus was in the process of figuring that out too. Luke makes it plain that Jesus, at age 12, was not a finished product. In fact, Luke tells us that he returned home with his parents and he was obedient to them, and that he increased in wisdom as he grew older. So Jesus had many more years to go to grow and develop and mature and become the person that God created him to be. He was the Son of God, but he was human too, and he had to learn and to grow and to figure things out and to make decisions and to establish his own identity about how he would live. And I think his parents had a big role in that. His parents nurtured him and instructed him and guided him. Now, when Jesus said I must be in my father's house. He wasn't rejecting his earthly father, Joseph. He returned home to Nazareth, and he remained obedient to his parents. But there in the temple at age 12, Jesus was beginning to discover his identity and his calling. It would be another 18 years before he would begin his public ministry. But even at a young age, Jesus was figuring out what God wanted him to do. And I dare say that Mary and Joseph had a big part in helping Jesus figure out who he really was. Now, for some reason, Joseph, his earthly father, disappears from the story after this. And we don't know why. Some scholars believe that Joseph died sometime after this. He's not mentioned again in the gospel stories. We find his mother Mary mentioned several times. His brothers and his sisters appear several times during his public ministry. Joseph disappears from the story, not mentioned again. It may be that the reason Jesus did not begin his public ministry until age 30 was he had to remain in Nazareth in order to help the family. If Joseph indeed had died, it would have been necessary for Jesus to remain and to work in the carpenter shop, to help support the family, to be the man of the house, if the father were no longer there. After Jesus began his public ministry, his mother Mary, his brothers, sisters were there, no Joseph. It may be that he lost his earthly father sometime after age 12, so at least for part of his childhood, he did grow up without a father. But whether Joseph was around or not, Jesus was always aware that he had a father in heaven. And in fact, that became Jesus' signature way of talking about God. Now, we're so used to that that we don't realize that before Jesus, people did not typically think about God as their father. Before Jesus, God was typically remote and on high and even somewhat detached. But Jesus began to talk about God in a different way and to reframe our understanding of God. At age 12, he said, "I must be in my Father's house." Years later, Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven." You might remember that parable that Jesus told about the father with two sons. The one son remained home. The other son took his inheritance and squandered it in reckless living. And Jesus compared God to the father in the parable. In the Garden of Gethsemane, on the night he was betrayed, Jesus prayed, "Abba, Father." Abba was an Aramaic word, a word of great tenderness, kind of equivalent to our English word, daddy. Can you imagine calling God daddy? Jesus said, prayed, "Abba, Father." Frankly, Jesus reframed the concept of God by calling God Father. He changed the whole idea of God from a remote and judgmental and vindictive deity into a compassionate and personal and forgiving Father in heaven. And one wonders where Jesus got the idea to call God Father. Maybe he got it from his relationship with his earthly father, Joseph. Maybe Joseph became for Jesus a kind of role model for God. Well, Jesus typically, habitually, regularly called God Father. But for some people who grew up in a home without a father, or some people who grew up with a father who wasn't all that kind and loving and caring and attentive, the whole idea of God as Father is hard to grasp. And frankly, Father's Day is not the same for everybody because we all have different experiences. For some of us, Father's Day is a great time to celebrate our relationship with our father. For others, Father's Day is almost a time of grieving, especially for those who didn't have a father or those whose relationship with their father was not so good. But even if you did not have a father, or even if the father you had was not the kind of father you wanted him to be, the idea of God as our Father in heaven is a powerful image, because Jesus showed us how much the Father loves us. John Killinger is a prolific writer and preacher, the author of some 70 books. He was a pastor, served as a seminary professor. He touched many people over decades of ministry. And I met him about 40 years ago when I was a student in seminary. In fact, I'd had to drop out of the seminary to return home to recuperate after an illness. And when I was back home, my home pastor, Dr. John Claypool, had invited Dr. Killinger to come and preach in our church. And he was taking Dr. Killinger out to lunch. He invited me to go with them, and I was able to kind of be a fly on the wall and listen to these esteemed pastors talk. And so you can imagine that I was very attentive when Dr. Killinger gave his sermon in our church. And it was 40 years ago, but I remember something he said to this day. He was commenting upon the birth of his first child, and Dr. Killinger said, "I know this sounds audacious, but I understand God better now because I'm a father too." Well, I became a father the moment that I married my wife, Linda. Linda's daughter, Amy, was 4 years old when her mother and I married. Amy's father had died when she was an infant, so she had no memories of him. So when Linda and I got married, Amy became my daughter. And I don't know who was more excited, Amy to finally have a father, or me to have a daughter to call my own. And every time that Amy would call me daddy, my heart would just fill with love and joy. And then 3 years later, when our son Mark was born, my love and joy only increased. I could relate to what Dr. Killinger said. I understand God better now. I'm a father too. Knowing how much I love my children, even though they're now grown, helps me to understand how much God loves us. In my Father's house, there's no place else on earth I'd rather be. Our Father, we are your children. And because of Jesus, we know that you love us. Because of Jesus, we know that you care for us. Because of Jesus, we know that you are always there for us as our Father in heaven. Sometimes we forget about your love. Sometimes we act as rebellious children. Sometimes we get so far away from you that we forget that you're there. But you never forget about us. You never stop loving us. You never stop caring for us. You never stop watching over us. We thank you, O God, for those parents that you've placed in our lives who showed us love, those fathers and mothers and grandfathers and uncles and aunts and other significant people who showed us that we are lovable, that we are cherished, that somebody loves us. And we know that father love is really a reflection of your love, a love that knows no bounds, a love that never ends, a love that never fails. Thank you, O God, for loving us so much that you sent your son Jesus And thank you for loving us so much that we can love each other too. Thank you that we can call you Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a closing hymn in just a moment, and we offer you the opportunity to respond to the Father's love. If you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior and followed Him as a believer in baptism, we give you that chance to make that commitment today. Or maybe you've already been a Christian for some time now, but you're not a part of this church. You want to unite with us. We'd offer you that chance as well, invite you to come to the front as we stand together and sing our closing hymn, number 72, Day by Day.
Be with us and abide among us all, now and forever.